If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts.
Family secrets, from selling your children to an arranged marriage, to going after your father with an axe. Some things just shouldn't be talked about. But that's what we're discussing today on Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Cautionary Tales. Stories that are passed down or around. But are they always true? Do we really know their true meaning or intent? This is the podcast where we dive into cautionary tales, superstitions, mysteries, and more to discover the truth behind the tale. This is Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Welcome to the show. Don't forget to press that subscribe button. It's me, Harper Brewski, and my dad, Tony Brewski, my co-host. Dad.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a family secret?
Have I ever had a family secret? Now, if it was a secret, I wouldn't tell. But I'm trying to think, even if there is anything that I... Not that I'm aware of. There's interesting things when you look back into families, and I couldn't even tell you if there is this in mine by any stretch. I want to say I've heard this before, but I couldn't tell you, you know, who or what or anything like that. But years ago, before people really understood more about individuals with disabilities and such, this is a long time ago. Families sometimes would kind of put those people into, you know, facilities and stuff, and then almost like forget about them. Or not visit them, or it was really dehumanizing, but it was like the norm. It's like what you did at a different place in time. And that's not what anybody really wants to do now. I mean, certainly you need, you know, special care for certain people, but I want to say there was like an aunt or a cousin, like of my dad's or my somewhere along the line, where kind of that was the case, where it's like, oh, wait a second. Well, if so-and-so is their aunt or uncle, then how does that work? Like, well, technically, so-and-so is really their sister because so-and-so couldn't care for them because of this or that. And it's like, really? But it's bizarre when you look at it from today's standards of how we deal with those sort of things as to how somebody dealt with them 50, 60 years ago or further back. But I think almost every family has kind of those sort of stories, whether they're aware of them or not, if they're a big enough family. And they look back at and find some of those things. So it's not necessarily really a secret. It's just kind of one of those things you look back and go, it's a shame and it's sad that that's how we treated people that had a, whether it was a physical disability or a mental disability or something like that. But that's how things kind of had been done a long time ago. So I don't have a specific answer to you like, oh my gosh, we're secret royalty and our family fled from Romania and we're secretly this, you know, no, I don't have, we're not the Romanovs or anything like that. But no, I don't think I really have anything exciting to share with you on that area. What were you hoping for? What were you thinking? You're really Elsa. That's the truth. We're really from, well, we are from Norway, but.
I am pretty much from Norway.
It is kind of funny because a couple days ago, We were playing with an app on one of the phones. I think it was Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat.
And it cartoons your face.
And I looked like straight up Anna.
You did. 100%. And we've always kind of joked that you and your sister were kind of like Anna and Elsa. You know, she's the older blonde one and you're the you know, younger redhead. And I swear to God, the cartoon that it made of you looked just like Anna. And it was just kind of funny.
Post that picture so everybody can see.
Maybe I'll do that at some point. But I know, real family secrets. But there's a lot of families that have some pretty dark secrets. And I guess I can say I'm happy that we're not one of them. Because some of this stuff is just messed up. And I don't know how you kind of square it up and say, oh, I'm okay with that, you know. And that you just kind of go throughout most of your life, you know, knowing and trusting people. And then kind of you get older and you find some of these things out. You're like, what?
Why?
Yeah.
When? Who?
Here's one of them. A grandfather that sold her aunt because he didn't want a daughter. Obviously, this is something that would be like the subject of a Netflix docuseries today.
It really would be.
But back in the day, before us, these sort of things happened.
You can sell people?
Well, no, not legally. But people would do this sort of crap. It says, when I was a kid, I knew my grandfather was odd. He'd call me his grandson, even when I was wearing a dress and was clearly female. My parents would tell me to ignore it. Then I found out that when my dad was a kid, Grandpa sold my dad's sister, Barbara, to someone and kept my dad and his brother because he didn't want a girl in the family. My dad found his sister, Barbara, around the time I was in middle school via calling around to get records. They were reunited. She's my favorite aunt now. No one like Grandpa. And that's the screwed up part, is the fact that people were able to do these things. And families continue to stand by these people. No one ever said at some point, this is insane what you did. This is not acceptable by any stretch of the imagination to anyone, anywhere, any place in time. So rather than us sitting here going, don't talk to him about it. You know, we don't want to hurt his feelings. People tiptoe around these people's insanity and they let it fester and they just let them go on without their about their lives because, well, there's so much history there. And it's like, this person is sick. This person is severely ill. There's no way a sane person would do something like that. And then, well, he was so great to your grandmother and your brother or whatever. I don't care. Anyone who has that tenacity to do something like that is not a great person. That's a mentally ill, extremely messed up human being that can find it in their heart to do something like that.
And especially for the stupidest reason, he did not want a girl in the family.
So you make an arrangement to sell the daughter. There's stories of hardship. There's stories of parents throughout history where they look at it and go, look, we are not in any sort of financial advantage. We're extremely poor. We have no way to provide for our children. And we want them to have a better life than what we could ever give them. And there's no immediate path to that happening. So they put their children up for adoption or something of that nature. That's different. And I understand that. That's someone who's trying to look out for the best in the human being that they now have and are in charge to be care of. That's a responsible move to try and help them if they can find them a better life than what they can provide. That's responsibility. But if you're just selling the girl because you don't want a girl, that's the height of mental illness.
It's just like, this is just too dumb. It's like the Karen at the ultimate level.
Yeah. It's like the original, you know, but it's a guy that did it. So yeah. I guess a Kevin in this case.
Yeah, it's a Kevin.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I don't know how to make sense of it. Here's another one. It says, I found out one of my aunts had an arranged marriage. She wasn't the one who was supposed to be in the arranged marriage, but her sister was adamant against marrying the dude, and I guess my grandma decided to persuade my aunt into replacing the sister's part of the marriage. Aunt and the dude got married and moved away and had kids. They lived far away, so I barely ever saw them. But only as I got older did I learn that the dude mistreated my aunt to the point where she still had some intense mental breakdowns long after he passed. So there's a great argument as to why arranged marriages are utterly stupid and insane. And it's something that was done in very different places and times for very different reasons. And today there's no real logical reason for such a thing to happen.
That's when you buck up and say, we have rights, people. We have rights.
Well, exactly. But the thing is, in some cultures, arranged marriages are still a thing. And I'm not attacking any religion. I'm not attacking any culture. I'm attacking the idea that another human being should have a say in the adult livelihood of another human being and who they choose to, or who they're going to cohabitate with and build a life with. That should be up to that individual, not the caretakers of that individual. And at that point, anyone who's getting married shouldn't be having a caretaker to begin with.
Yeah.
That person should be on their own two feet, but it was done in different places and different times for different reasons. Some were more understandable because of the places and the times, but we're not there anymore. So
it's just like, why? We have rights. You can't do this to us.
Yeah, people have rights, and that's the reality. What's so scary about these things is these little tidbits, these little stories that we're talking about today, are things that people are recounting from present day, from present memories. It's not like we're reading this from somebody's accounts of 70 years ago or 80 years ago. These are people who are talking about their aunts, their uncles, their, you know, great, their grandparents, all of that within the context of lifetimes, of our lifetimes. And that's what makes it so scary, is some of these real long ago thought up ideas that had more pertinent sense at different points in times than they do today, that have still been held onto and then continued to be defended by families as normal.
This is not normal.
No, it's not. Here's one. The grandfather went after their father with an axe. That's fun.
That's not fun.
He says, my grandfather tried to kill my dad with an axe. Literally showed up to his place of work and went looking to cut him down. And somehow, my unprepared dad fought him off barehanded. So grandpa escaped and came back the next day to finish the job with a gun. But my dad didn't show up to work, so the dude offed himself in the parking lot. So that's a dark family story. That's obviously a story of someone with a very severe mental illness that's going out and trying to do something like that and then ends up taking their own life. And that's someone where you go and say, I wish that person could have gotten help that they needed. Because that's a story where that family is going to suffer. That family is going to hold that burden. That family is going to look at themselves and go, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that. When in the end, it's not a matter of if you'd only done, it's a matter of they had only done. If they had only been able to get some sort of help, or if help was even available. That's a big problem with a lot of stories like this when it comes to families and mental health, is the reality that mental health is not readily available as well as it should be to everyone out there. Not everybody has access to get the help that they need to work through their problems that plague them all the way to a disorder of some sort of, to this extent. Where they could be able to try and work through their problems in a safe, you know, environment. But unfortunately, that's not, not what happened there. Here's a fun one. During World War II, my great-grandmother fell in love with a mailman while her husband was away in the service and ended up having the mailman's baby. To save their marriage, she decided to put my grandfather up for adoption before dad came home, and nobody ever found out. Somebody, and I have no clue how, managed to keep it a secret until she was about to pass, and she ended up telling her two daughters, who were born after my grandfather. Sometime later in the early 1990s, they hired a private investigator to find their long-lost brother. When they found him, they waited in the parking lot for him to get off work and broke the news to him that they were his sisters. My dad told me he remembered going to a Christmas party with them as a child, and that was about it. They lost contact. I've never met him, but the story still fascinates me.
Okay, that's just wrong to do.
Yes, it's obviously wrong to do, but I think you'd be surprised sometimes by that sort of thing actually being a dynamic in many families, where it's there, it's not talked about, and sometimes it's never even known about. Because another thing that, well, probably not could have been done in this case, but because the father was away at war, but had the father been present, and she wanted to keep that affair secret, she could have just said it was his. And then on the birth certificate, it's his. And no one ever knows, unless like genetic testing is done at some point and they discover, oh, wait a second, this doesn't make a lot of sense. You look a lot more like Herbert the mailman than you do Dad. And then that kind of gets, you know, figured out.
First name that comes in mind, Herbert the mailman. I used to be called Herbert.
You never were called Herbert. I joked with you.
I know, but some people at my school misread my name, like, Herbert?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Like little kids were calling you Herbert?
Yes.
I always joked with you when you were a baby, and I said, yeah, you were actually named Herbert, but we just keep calling you Harper. And you were like, no, you didn't. You were like 2 or 3 when I would tell you that one. But you found it quite amusing. Here's another one, and this is interesting. It says, their uncle may be a well-known serial killer. I got a good story. It's probably not connected to this specific serial killer story, but I have a story connected to people that I have met that were connected to a serial killer.
Oh.
It says, Uncle Joseph is probably a serial killer, a major suspect for the West Mesa Bone Collector. He's also convicted for violating children. One day, Joseph was just sort of out of the picture, and no concrete answer was given why. At the time, I was young enough that I didn't think to push out particularly on the details to get all the info from my family. But suddenly he's gone. Uncle who? Uncle what? No. He wasn't existing. That he never had him. He wasn't there. But some families will do that to kind of hide what happened. Or some families will completely embrace it, talk about it at get-togethers, and then go and try and save them. And
the things that people will do, it's insane.
Yeah. There was a story, and here's the story I got for you. A couple of years ago, we were trying to get involved locally in the town that we were living in with a church to meet some people and be social. You probably remember that.
Yes.
At that time. And there was like these social groups that they were putting together, and they kind of met at people's homes. And one of the nights it was our house. And one of the couples came and were talking to us. And they actually, of all the people in the group, seemed like the most normal of the bunch, which isn't saying a whole lot. And they were talking to us about, their trip that they had planned coming up in a couple weeks. And they were going to go out to California to visit their brother-in-law, who happened to be the Golden State Killer. And I'm not going to go into all the details of the Golden State Killer on this program. If you wanted to learn about the Golden State Killer,
Google it.
Dark Side of Wikipedia, the other podcast, there's a whole episode on the Golden State Killer. He wasn't the best of the best, to put it mildly. He was a horrible, awful, disgusting, deplorable human being who should not be walking the face of this earth. And there's no saving someone like that. Did so many horrible things to so many people, destroyed so many lives, just like the epitome of evil is really what this human being was. But here I am sitting on my couch, and this is when the Golden State Killer stuff was pretty big in the news a couple years back when they had discovered who he was. They had found him. This is a guy who did all sorts of horrible things a long time ago and then was finally found out when he was much older. And I, at the time, did not know all of the details of the Golden State Killer. I just knew it was in the news and he was a bad guy. And I'm sitting on my couch and these people are telling me that they're going to go out there and they're going to go pray with him, and they're going to go and I'm not knocking religion. I'm not knocking praying. I'm not knocking any of that, because I believe that that's a good thing in the right context. But there's just some people that you can't help, and horrific serial killers make the list of people in my book that, you know what, ain't going to help that crap. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I was fascinated to hear this story. But then later on, I did my research on just what a horrible human being this was. I was like, oh my God. Not that being a serial killer, it wasn't like serial killer light. Oh, this is good. I'm glad you're going to do this. But I also couldn't necessarily freak out at the people at that moment and demand they leave my room or my house. Although looking back, I kind of wish I did.
Was that the people who, which people were they? The ones that had, did they all have kids that?
No, this was an older couple. They didn't have any children.
Okay.
And they were actually really friendly, aside from the fact that they were going to go and try and save the Golden State Killer. But that was, it was bizarre. It was a very bizarre story. And I guess I walked away from that night going, I don't really want to see these people again, but I guess I got a story for a show someday. So I've talked about it several times on the air, but it was just utterly bizarre to have heard that story. Here's one. A family, it could have been worth millions. It says, my great-grandfather had built a company from the ground up called, I'm not going to say the name of the company, and they made corrugated cardboard for shipping in boxes. Great-grandfather was a major bad person. He built the family empire, so we still see him in kind of a good light. My grandfather was supposed to inherit the company 30-something years ago until Uncle Randy happened. My great-grandmother was still alive and was technically owner of the company. She was also blind and deaf. Uncle Randy comes in impersonating my grandfather and has her sign away the entire company to him. He gives half of the $15 million to his son, who flees to Europe after receiving threats on his life. Randy succumbs to cancer. In the month after fleeing the family, nobody went to his funeral. And we literally pee on his grave now. I found this out after stumbling into a stack of legal documents in my grandpa's attic. We still don't know where Randy's son is to this day. The father tried to... Oh, so I'm sorry, that's the end of that one. That's the horrific story of that family, where money will make people do absolutely crazy things. I take that back. Money will make people do crazy things, but I think there needs to be a level of crazy in the person first before they're going to do crazy things. There has to be a level of immoral and a level of disregard for the well-being of those that you claim to love. Money in itself, I don't think, does the evil. It's the people that use the money in the wrong ways to do evil. And that's, you know, that's what that family did. They thought, you know, and there's two sides to every story, but to just walk out and just completely destroy this empire that this man built for his family and then disappear. I mean, how do you sit? I mean, you don't sit down for Thanksgiving with somebody like that. It's like, how do you do that?
That's someone you yell at and say, get out of my house.
It's someone you take to court and you try and get the money. But what they did was they fled to another country to avoid being responsible for having to give that money to anybody that should have been the recipients, the heirs to the family fortune. Here's another messed up one. It says, I was told that my dad left me when I was born, and technically it's still true, but I was told my dad was somewhat completely different, or someone completely different. I got a little suspicious about the whole thing because my cousin, who apparently didn't know the whole cover story, told me that my dad had blonde hair and my mother had black. And that's where I get my black hair. But everyone else told me my dad had black hair. I thought about it. I was a little bit suspicious about the whole thing. What really revealed it to me was I had to use my birth certificate so I could join the military. And the name, my father said Alexander Smith. My last name is Smith, but they all told me that I got my name from a baby book. So that's why my last name was different from everyone else in the family. I then spent a couple days doing research on an Alexander Smith and found out that everything added up. He was born in Russia and changed his name when he got here. So I'm 70% Russian. So that makes a lot more sense. And what sold it for me is that his mother's name was something else, which was my grandmother's name. I confronted my family about it, and they revealed that, yes, he is my dad. And they told me what happened. To put it short, after I was born, he didn't want any kids, so he tried to smother me in my sleep when I was a little child. When I was stopped by my brother and my uncle, he left, and they called the police on him. He later returned in the middle of the night and set fire to our house and killed the dog and jumped to another house and killed an old lady in the process. After that, he was arrested and sent to prison for life, and he later died in prison. They said they wanted to keep it a secret, so I didn't know my dad was a psychopath murderer who wanted to try and kill me. They were planning on telling me over a letter when I joined the military, but I figured it out beforehand. So that's a case where a family has well intentions. You know, to get that sort of information dropped on you would be a lot to handle and a lot to kind of take in. And at the moment, you're thinking, how am I going to shield this child from this information that could be really potentially very harmful? Would they be better off not having this piece of information as to develop in a more healthy manner? But at the same point, everyone does deserve to know where they came from and who their parents are and what the story is, good, bad, ugly, at least some point in their life. So, you know, they're planning on telling, when's the right time? The answer is there is no right time to share information like that. But obviously it came out at some point.
Yeah, with him finding out on his own.
Yeah. And that's where they were able to kind of put those pieces together and figure it out. Here's a fun one. My great aunt was a nurse at a mental hospital about 100 years ago. She fell in love with a guy who had been committed there by the state. She helped him escape, and they ran off together to another part of the country. Turns out the guy had slayed, meaning killed, multiple people and got extradited back and put in prison. My aunt, a sweet old soul, lived to be 99 years old. I never knew anything about her past until decades after she was gone. That would be an odd conversation to have over Easter dinner. So, great aunt Sally, tell me about the time you thought it was a great idea to run away with the mental patient. And how did that work out for you? Was that a good idea? Was that the best choice you could have made at that point in life? Or why did you get there? Why was that the good idea of the day? Explain. And then she'd probably, you know, suffocate you with ham loaf or something.
Yeah, splain. It's from Lucy.
Splain? Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. Yeah. We'll do one more here. Back in grade school, there was this one girl. She was from Great Britain. She was an advocate for the British Crown. And I remember her learning about the Revolutionary War, and she criticized Americans. So we were in science. We were talking about the British heritage, and she made a joke talking about her ancestors being British, probably came from India, where I come from, and did something bad to our family. For me, it was just a joke. For her, it was a little more personal because someone in her family was a leading general in the British Army. We then got her to say that she had a great uncle who worked in the same region of India that my family's from, and it turns out she worked in the same district as my family did. A district is like a state or a county or something like an American county. The real kicker came later when she said that her uncle may have slain some people back in the early 1900s. She took an ancestry DNA test earlier that year and saw the list of names that her grandpa could have taken out. My last name appeared. Later, when I went home, I asked my dad about any family members who were missing in the 1900s. He had a faint memory told to him by his father, who was born in the late 1930s, about his uncle, my dad's great uncle, and my great great uncle. He went to the main city for the district for some business and never came back. Our family was also very hush-hush about the incident. I don't know what happened to my great great uncle, and wherever I see this person, I wonder if we have in common something that goes back many generations.
That is scary to, like, have someone in your class that's related to someone that would do that.
Well, here's something to think about, though. I mean, this is something where, you know, the person in the class didn't do that. It was a distant ancestor that was involved in things of that nature at the time. But the thing is, we have that sort of thing right here in our very country. Where in the United States, if you look back to the days of the Civil War and such, you had North versus South that was fighting and killing each other. You have a battlefield down the road from us.
Yes, we do.
Where people were killing each other that were once part of the same country, and we are now still part of the same country. So there's many places you, my dear, are a product of two different families where there would have been people on the north and people that would have been in the south 100 some years ago. Now, this day and age, you and me, our family, none of us were a part of that. We don't think that way. We don't discriminate against people. We don't do that. Neither side does anything like that. But the reality is there were ancestors that did. And you can't change that. I can't change that. But it's not who we are. And time changes things. People change. And generations change. Generations can say, I don't want that. That's not who I am. And people can learn from the mistakes of previous generations and come together and say, that was insane. That was horrible. But that's not who I am. And that's not how I'm living my life. And it's never been who I am. And never not how I'm living my life. So then you have children that are born from people from opposing sides of something that was hundreds of years ago. And time moves on and generations move on and people move on. But you can go even further back. You can go further back to this country versus that country. And you'll find it in almost everybody in America who has heritage and lineage of from different countries of, well, this country once fought that country. And guess what? You got both countries in you. Or people from both countries because of that lineage. So you can trace it back to the American Civil War. You can trace it back to different countries, battles against each other. And at the end of the day, there are so many opposing forces in all of us as far as how people worked and how they saw the world at that period of their lives. But it doesn't mean that is who we are today. And it never will be who we are today. But those sort of things happen. It's really interesting how this person, I mean, just the fact and the odds of that little point in history at a very specific geographic location and then connecting with someone in a different part of the world, how many years later, 80, 90 years later, that you could connect those pieces of history and go, oh my gosh, our ancestors must have done this to each other. Oh my God. Doesn't mean that they have to be opposing. They weren't them. But it is very interesting to see how silly that can be when you look back in history. And you can kind of take some of those lessons and say to anyone that you may be at odds with and go, is this worth it? Is there a reason why we're at odds? It's one thing to fight for some injustices and things of that nature, but it's another to hate someone for something like their skin color or because of where they're from or their socioeconomic status or things like that. I mean, it's one thing if one person is, you know, persecuting others and you're fighting for that person to not do that to other people. It's another to say that person's bad because of something they cannot control. And that's where we see just insanity happening. So those two people had a very interesting thing in common, but it's not who they are as adults or as you know, people today. So interesting stuff.
There is. That wraps up today's episode. Be sure to press that subscribe button wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you don't ask the right questions, you may end up being part of a cautionary tale. For Cautionary Tales with Harper, I'm Harper Bruski.